Need to Breathe has a whole album called The Outsiders, so I guess we could just steal that. Okay, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people. Oh, wow. Look at that. So relevant. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so blessed to come together and to be able to study your word for that time of worship where we could take what has come within our week and in our heart and in our mind and just lay it all down before you and still worship you yet, because you are in control. You are working all things together for good in our lives as people who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so we're thankful to meet with you that we're able to do that any day of the week, any time of the day, but to have this time on Wednesday nights where we come together with other junior hires and we just meet with you as your family. You speak to us as a group and we grow deeper in you. We pray that you would guide us, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Fill me with your spirit to share your word precisely and exactly as we need it in our hearts this evening. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Grab a seat, everybody. So, on Sunday, we looked at the qualifications of leaders. And that's what we covered on Sunday. And we saw that leaders are called to feed the church, like spiritually feed them. They're called to serve the church, like look out for the needs that they have and then meet those. And they're called to lead the church. Leaders are called to lead. My goodness. And for those of you who desire in the future to be in church leadership, Paul would say that is a good desire for you to have. But Peter would say, start putting those things to practice now. Start looking out for the spiritual needs, not just of yourself, but for of the people around you. Start looking out for the physical needs, even those things that are not glamorous, like dusting and straightening out chairs at the end of service or before service. You guys love dusting. I feel like... Okay. That's great. Not me. I'm never like, oh, wow, about to go dust. So excited. About to be satisfied by dusting. That's so bizarre. But the reason Peter says start now is because God does not call leaders to lead. God calls people who are already leading to become leaders. So women in the church who are already leading other women around them to become members of women's leadership and plan events and make opportunities for fellowship and discipleship and community within the women's ministry. Guys who are already leading other guys and preaching doctrine and encouraging one another to then become elders within the church, leaders, pastors, whatever it may be, worship leaders, ministry leaders, media leaders. There's so many opportunities, but start where you are. Because God he's not like, oh wow, there's a leader, I need to call them to lead. No, he says, there's someone who's leading, I'm going to give them more and more opportunity to become leaders, to lead the church. And in our passage today, now picking up in verse 5, Peter takes right where he left off. He picks things up right where he left things off, and he says, likewise, you younger people, where are the young people at? Okay. I'm young, I'll say it. Submit yourselves to your elders. Oh, I bet you've never heard that one before. Respect your elders. You guys never heard that one. But this isn't talking about respecting elderly people. It's talking about respecting leaders within the church. And what we're going to see is that he ends up saying this to everyone, like all ages within the church. Like that's the next thing that he says. But it's interesting that he first singles out young people. And here's why I think he does it. Because if young people can make a habit of following the godly advice of Christian leadership in their life at a young age and make a habit of that, then it will be so much easier as they grow up within the church and as they, you know, maybe move churches and find a home church of their own in the future and like their own family, like growing up in Christianity. It makes it so much easier to submit to the godly leadership that's placed in your life if you can do it at a young age and make a good habit and a good foundation of it. And what Peter shows us in this passage as we go further is that submitting to church leadership comes very naturally to those who are humble, but it is not natural for the prideful. And so what we're going to look at today is pride versus humility.
Oh my God.
Do you guys see what's going on there?
It's
a mythical creature.
What is that?
I call it a.
It seems like you should switch
chitin.
Where those are, because it feels like
the like a titan, kitten, lion. Chitin. Chitin.
Chitin.
Yeah, it's a little kitty cat and a lion morphed into one, and it's like, boom, there it is. But the reason we're looking at this is because Peter is going to show us the truth. Okay, you guys cannot be passing stuff back and forth. Well, you can't be.
She took it from me before we started.
We can't be playing book hockey on the floor in the middle of service. Oh my goodness. I'm so distracted. It's like, my goodness, you brought up my hockey past, and now I'm just kidding. But Peter's going to show us the truth about those who are humble. And as he does this, we're going to also see the truth about those who are prideful. But before we go any further, we need to define clearly what pride is and what humility is. So pride is a sin in which a person shows themselves and really views themselves above others. So they have an overconfident view of themselves and of their self-worth, and oftentimes they end up treating others like they are less than they are. But pride is important to understand. It's not just outward, but it's inward as well. You can be very prideful and live a humble life. But if you're doing that humble thing so that people are like, oh, wow, look at that humble person. They're awesome. And you're like, yes, I'm humble. Then you still have that pride, even though it kind of feels weird because it's like you're happy to be humble, but you're doing it so that people look at you and go, oh, wow, they're humble. And for proof that pride is a sin, there's so many lists of sins where they end up mentioning pride in it. But one specifically is Romans 1, verse 30, and it's a list of sins, and on that list of sins, pride is on there. If you're taking notes, you can look that up later if you would like. And then humility, though, is simply lowliness of mind and position. Humility. Lowliness of mind and position. So it's inward and it's outward. And what's important to understand is that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Like, it's not going, oh, I'm lame and nobody likes me because I'm lame and I'm humble. No, that's, in a weird way, that's selfishness because you're so self-centered and you're like only caring what people think of you. But humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. I didn't come up with that. That's like classic. But it's a good thing to remember that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less and thinking of others more and thinking really more of others. And Colossians 3, verse 12 calls Christians to put on humility. So we are called as Christians to grow less in our pride and grow more in humility. So what we're going to do tonight is look at two main things. First, we're going to look at the results of pride in the life of a Christian. What pride does to you if you allow it to become like who you are and what you are and what you do. And then we're going to look at, after that, is the results of humility in the life of a Christian. What humility will accomplish in your life. So if you're taking notes, first we're going to look at pride, and then second we're going to look at humility. two very important topics, and Peter explains them in a different way, maybe than what you're used to, so it's really good to tune into this, because what we're going to see is that pride impacts your life in a huge way. But what we're going to see also is that humility, though it seems from the world standards like lame sauce, like who would want to be humble, we see that it blesses the Christian and that there's so much in store for those who are humble. So first, the results of pride in the life of a Christian. The first thing we see in our passage is that pride makes it difficult to submit to Christian leadership. Pride makes it hard to submit to the Christian leaders in your life. And it's easy to look at that and be like, yeah, dude, tell me something I don't know, boy. But Christians are commanded to submit to their Christian authorities. Just one example, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you," speaking of those in the church, "and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." That's Hebrews 13, verse 17. We are commanded to submit to the authority of the church that we are a part of. Lowercase church. You're not like commanded to submit to the authority of every single pastor because there's different denominations, different beliefs. But the church that you call home, we are commanded to submit to that authority. And this is something that must be disciplined within the church. So if someone has a pattern of just disobeying, standing against the leadership within a church, it's something that needs to be corrected within the church. We see this in a few different epistles, that it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be the person that is disobedient to authority within the church needs to be steered the other way, however that's necessary. Maybe it's discipling them one-on-one, it could be taking them out of serving, and it could be in some cases removing them from the church for a short while so that they don't continue leading other people against the God-given authority in that church. But Peter then shows us that prideful people often expect to be served, but are seldom willing to serve. So they want to be served. They're like, oh yeah, serve me, wash my feet, they're dirty. Just kidding, hopefully not. I don't know, I don't want to be near that guy. But it's a real thing where they want to be served, they expect grace from a lot of Christians, but they don't expect to have to show grace. They don't expect to have to go a little bit of an extra mile to serve the Christians around them. They're not willing even. We also see that God resists the proud. And Peter, when he says that, is quoting Proverbs 3, verse 34. And what this means is that he is actively against pride in a Christian's life. God opposes pride in a Christian's life. And the reason why is quite natural. It's not that God is like, oh, prideful people, I must turn against them. No. What it is pride keeps a Christian from receiving all that God has for them. Pride in the life of a Christian keeps them from receiving all that God has for them. And so naturally, God wanting to bless every Christian, every person in the world, literally, he is against pride because it gets in the way of what he desires, of the ways he desires to bless Christians. We also see that the proud make their own rewards. So this means that people who are prideful are choosing not to wait for God's blessings in the perfect timing, but they choose on their own to give themselves their rewards when they see fit. And Jesus explains this so well in Matthew 6. He says in verse 2, "When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity." So religious people would literally be like, "Look at how awesome I am, everybody." And then when everybody's like, "What is that sound?" they would be like, "Oh, here's a little gift for you. Out of the bottom of my heart, for I am meek and humble, and no one looks up to me. I'm just charitable." And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. That's the NLT. But they have received their reward in that moment. But a Christian submitting to the will of God acknowledges that God's plans are perfect and that his timing is perfect. And so someone with pride, they seek to give themselves their rewards when they see fit, and they often miss out on the greatest rewards that God has for them. And then finally, about pride, the people with pride are often burdened by the cares of life. Pride keeps Christians from resting on God. And the reason is because they see themselves as capable. Why do I need to surrender this to God? It's not that big of a deal. I can carry it on my own. I'm not weak. I don't need to give this over to God in my life. I can sustain it. I can go through this. We can press on. And it doesn't, like, it's not that big of a deal. So pride keeps a Christian from resting on God. But so often, it's prideful people who suffer from bouts of anxiety and depression and fear and stress, because instead of going, things are out of control, Lord, give me peace, Lord, take control of this situation, they go, things are out of control, I need to kick into hyperdrive and do this and do that, and everything's stressing me out, and I need a double shot from whatever it's called, Starbucks. I need a, like, double shot mocha frappuccino, do-do-do-do-do, bop-boom. Why is that funny? What do you get?
No, I get that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, mocha frappuccino. Who drinks those anymore? But it's because they're trying to carry it all on their own. That is what pride does to a Christian. They carry the cares and the troubles and some of the difficult things and even the good things in life. They carry it all on their own, and it weighs them down. So that's what pride does in the life of a Christian. But now let's look at what humility does, the results of humility in the life of a Christian. Peter tells us first, as Christians, to be clothed with humility. And that word clothed, it's so interesting. I dig it. What it's talking about is this white garment that slaves would wear back in those days. And that garment is very similar to what Jesus wore when he washed the feet of the disciples. And when people wore this garment, almost like an apron, like what we know today, you knew that that person is a slave, and that that person has the position of a servant, and they're willing to do whatever you need them to do. Not even willing. They're needing and having to do whatever you need them to do. That's who they are. That's how they identify. That's their job. It's their duty. And so when you see that, you go, oh, that's a slave. They're going to do the servant's tasks, the servant's duties. And I think it's so interesting that Jesus did that when he washed the feet of the disciples. And every time you saw someone wearing this, basically it meant that they had the lowest position and were always ready to serve everyone that came into that house or onto that property. And Peter tells us, when he says, clothe yourself with humility, he says, live like that amongst one another. And this is the secret to submitting to leaders within the church. Humility. Clothe yourself with humility. Take the identity of humility. That rhymes. Someone's got to write that down. But no, really, take the identity of humility. Not just doing humble things so people go, oh, you're humble, but viewing not yourself as less, but thinking of yourself less and going and serving and taking that lower position in your heart and in the world around you, in the church as well. Second, Peter tells us that God gives grace to the humble. Now, this does not mean that God has favorites and that if you're prideful, you don't get as much, and if you're humble, you get a little bit more. It doesn't mean that. But like I said earlier, pride keeps Christians from living in the grace that God has for them. The grace is there. It's readily available. God's so happy, so willing, like biting at the bit to show the grace to that Christian, but pride keeps them from receiving it. We're also told that God exalts the humble at the perfect time. So humble people do not choose when God calls them to do something, but humble people Know that God is in control and that God sees everything where it is and how it is from the past and the future. And they acknowledge and they live believing that God will reward them when he sees fit, will reward them in due time, and that in those times, it will be the perfect time, the best time, the best possible time in their life. Now, finally, humble people are able to actively receive the care of God. One of the defining factors of Christianity, this is what really separates us from pretty much every religion that has a deity, every religion that believes there's a god or multiple gods. What separates us is the true God. That's one huge thing, is we believe in the true God. But he is already caring for us. In every other religion, you have to meditate to get that God's attention. You have to pray to get that God's attention. You have to sacrifice to get care from that God. You have to go out in the wilderness and like find your third eye and become like, I don't even know, whatever it is. Your third eye. It's a thing. Yeah, it's weird. But it is. It's real. I'm serious. I know that's so random that I would say that, but it's a real thing. Some people are looking for their third eye. Not like they're literally like, where is my third eye? It's like a whole religion, a whole thing. But in Christianity, God's care is already there. It's already there. God already cares for every single human of all time. And all we have to do is receive it through prayer, through meditation, through reading his word, through serving, through choosing to be humble instead of living in pride. All we have to do is receive the care that is already there. And even then, if we don't receive it, God is still gracious and gives us so much. But what's important to understand is God doesn't start caring once we pray to him. God didn't start caring once you worshiped him this evening. God didn't start caring when we opened 1 Peter 5. God's care was already there, ready to be poured out upon us. And humble people realize that some of the stuff that goes on in life is too heavy for them to carry on their own. And so they cast their cares on God. They cast their cares on God. And that word cast means to actively throw, almost more like pitch your cares upon God. And what it would mean is, instead of just being like, oh Lord, please like take control, actively being like, Lord, things are kind of crazy right now, and I'm kind of anxious, I'm worried, I'm stressed, take this from me, Lord, take control in this situation. And then maybe 5 minutes later, you're a little bit stressed out again, you're a little worried and having to do it again. Being active in casting those cares upon God. Now, hopefully it doesn't have to be every 5 minutes, but I've been just recently in the last probably like 3 weeks. This is something that I have needed in my life actively every single day. Like before I came here, typing out my teaching, I had to pause. And not because of this teaching, but I had to just pause and go, Lord, take these burdens from me. Because my sister is mentally ill right now. Like, not in a sense of she needs therapy and she's going to get better, but in the sense that she's, like, in danger to herself. And it's nothing that I can do to help her. Like, nothing. And it's crazy. There's nothing that I can do to help her. There's nothing that my parents can do to help her. And we've tried so much. And what happens in my heart is I get anxious. What's going to happen to her? What is she going to do to herself as she's going through this issue in her life, this really mental illness in her mind? And instead of worrying about it, And as my pride creeps in and I go, Lord, I need to worry about this because I don't know what's going to happen. Because I don't know how things are going to end. I can't even see it ending well in her life. I have to rest on the Lord frequently, literally, every night before I go to sleep, in the morning when I wake up, in the middle of the afternoons, while I'm driving places, and I have to say, Lord, life is out of control. Things are crazy in my family, but take control. I choose to rest on you. I know that I can't do it on my own, and I know that I have no control in this situation, and so I release my pride. Cut it out of my life, Lord, and take control. And lead me the way that you desire to lead me. And it's been hard, but that is what I've needed. And in times like this, looking at pride and how pride can so negatively affect us, and how humility is right there, and it's such a blessing in our lives when we choose to live in humility, I'm reminded of a hymn, and it's so good. It says, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And that is such a good reminder to me, and hopefully it's a good reminder to you guys, that God is our refuge, and that the only thing that keeps us from resting in him is ourselves. His care is there, right there. And we're already being affected by it, even though our pride is still there, because God's grace is beyond our pride, but there's so much more available if we would just surrender our pride, surrender control, and receive his grace. Receive his understanding. Let's pray. And then we're going to break up into organic small groups. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of you. We're in awe of your love and your grace and your care that is always there, not only for us as Christians, but for everyone in this world. We pray that you would teach us to live humbly. Teach us to clothe ourselves in humility. As Jesus put that white towel around his waist and washed the disciples' feet, teach us to do that in the way that we live and in the way that we think and in the way that we pray to you. Lord, I pray for anybody in here who is carrying something that is beyond themselves. Anybody in here who is weighed down, as the song says, who's heavy laden, who's weak from what they're carrying, Lord, help them to rest in you. Help them to surrender whatever that is to you and to rest in the care that you have for them right there. We love you so much. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.